welcome to the NRF1 podcast. We're back again. I know, it's a roll. We're going to look ahead to the Brazilian Grand Prix, which is coming up very soon. I don't know what the exact date is, but it's not far away. It's definitely not back-to-back, because that's why we're here. But if you missed part one of this sort of fortnight's podcast, then make sure you catch it as we look back at Mexico, USA, and Lewis Hamilton becoming a 3-times world champion, which you could say means there's not a lot left to talk about. Rich, you're very kind. The 14th and 15th of November. So that's the race weekend. We're going to have to talk about Brazil because, as I said, there's not really much else of this season left to talk about. But I'm with Kyle Cumbers and Richard Baxter again. We'll head straight in with the news and discussion of what's been going on recently that we haven't touched on yet. First of all, Red Bull. I mean, I think they're like indelibly linked on my agenda now, because it seems to be something every time. They've extended the deadline for them to find a race, an engine partner, because they still don't have one, and we're now at the point where it could be Honda, which strikes me as desperation. Kyle?
Yeah, it seems strange that they keep putting deadlines on it. Surely they're just working as hard as they can to get an engine, and as soon as they get it, then they've got one. I don't understand these deadlines, really. But yeah, it's desperate. After the last time we spoke, it was them going back to Renault possibly and asking for forgiveness. I don't really know if that's worked out. And then the Honda rumour started, which Honda seemed quite keen to supply them, but McLaren don't seem.
Well, Ron Dennis, isn't it? I think
Dennis, yeah, because apparently Bernie's come out and said the part of the agreement them coming in was they could supply one engine the first year, one team the first year, two teams the second year, and three teams the third year. So I'm sure McLaren knew that, you'd hope so, but McLaren probably hope it would be a manor, possibly a team that they could weren't really racing against, but although you say that, yeah, they're racing against manor at the moment. But yeah, it's just a horrible situation they got themselves in, and I really want them to stay in because they're great Formula 1, they bring great drivers through, but they've just gone about it the wrong way, and I think they'll be lucky. I think you can see them getting like an unbranded Renault engine possibly, but yeah, I just don't know.
Something interesting I've realised is obviously Red Bull are linked with Infiniti, who are kind of Nissan basically. It's what Lexus is to Toyota, they're Infiniti are to Nissan, I think. And you think, why don't they get them to provide an engine, because obviously Nissan have done Le Mans before, and I think they still do as well actually. And you think, why don't you get an engine from them? You've got the links there in place.
Well, the thing that gets me is I can't understand why Red Bull want a Honda engine. literally, no wonder Honda want to give them one, but it's just, the whole thing's a mess. And you've already got Daniel Ricciardo saying, well, if it doesn't work out, I'll head to IndyCar. I'll do something like that. So big issues, of course, for putting together next year's car as well, because everyone else is going to effectively be 6 months ahead of them, even if they get a new engine signed tomorrow. Big issue. Force India, the suggestion that they might be rebranded as Aston Martin coming up. That's very exciting, even if it doesn't mean a lot. Having dealt with the Lotus situation, I know exactly what it means.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to have the Aston Martin name in F1, and Force India, I think, are struggling for money, so if that helps them along, then that's good. So they've got a good team there, got two very good drivers. Yeah, it'd be good to see the Aston Martin name. I don't know if it'll only be a few years and then they'll move on, but I think it'll be good.
Well, we may well be saying goodbye to the Lotus name, of course, depending on what happens with Renault. There are some Renault people working at Enstone now, apparently. Jolyon Palmer will be racing for them. Jolyon Palmer took me around Snetterton once in a radical racer. Loads of fun. And who would have thought that off the back of that sole experience, he's now going to be racing in Formula 1?
Well, it was a few weeks back when we had I think it was the Russia podcast. I think you mentioned about, we might not have any Norfolk links left if Lotus go. So we never know, Palmer might get a drive. And, well, he has. So we're still going.
Did you get 10%?
Oh, I wish.
Yeah. It would be a lot of money, I bet. I mean, that does mean we've got three guaranteed British drivers next year. Jensen Lewis and now Jolyon Palmer. Don't know about Will Stevens yet. It sounds like he could well have a manor seat next year, but it's very quiet, and you've now got the two head honchos at Manor Mauritia resigning. I don't know. Having experienced a lot of Caterham, these all sound like worrying signs.
It's very worrying, because Graham Loudon and I forgot the other chap's name.
John Booth, is it?
Yeah, Booth, yeah. They've always seemed very good guys, just pure racing guys, and they've done a pretty good job to get that team back this year. I think it's disagreement with the owners, and there's always a little bit of a worry when new owners came in, if they were just trying to make a bit of money out of it with all the guaranteed television money. And that's a bit of a worry. I think they've been sort of said they've kept out of the loop of certain things, and it's a worry when two good racing guys leave a team. And also, you know, it was looking quite promising a few weeks ago with the Mercedes deal, and they're getting working with Williams as well. So it was looking like a good drive to get, but it's a bit worrying when them two guys leave.
We should say goodbye to Susie Wolf. She has retired from motorsport, I think, isn't it? Not just Formula One. She's packed up and taken her car home. And I mean, big strides really from Susie, the fact that she did get into the Formula One paddock. She did get on the track, which is something that seems to be beyond, you know, most women in terms of being allowed to. I find that such a sad issue. I really wish it would happen, even if someone tried as a PR stunt just to break down some barriers, but you know, and then hopefully have some serious progress.
Yeah, I mean, she said herself, I think, if she's not driving at the very top, then she doesn't want to be involved, something along those lines. But I think the only reason she wasn't given a drive, it's not anything to do with her talent particularly, I think it's because of her age. I mean, she's 32 now, I think, which obviously is older than Hamilton is, who's now triple world champion. And I mean, you look at the guys coming through, like Verstappen and Sainz, I mean, they're both youngsters and they're absolutely, you know, killing this season. You know, they're doing brilliantly. You've had so many plaudits and everything, but I know Damon Hill was in his 30s when he was signed in for Williams, but other than that, I don't think there's been many people over 30 who have come into the sport.
So where are all the young women coming into the sport then, if there are all these young men coming in?
I don't know.
Come on, Kyle.
I think she probably realised that she wasn't going to have a racing career at Williams when Bottas was an injury doubt for the Malaysian Grand Prix this year. And then Suttle came in as the reserve driver, and you're like, yeah, yeah, that's a sign that they don't really.
Yeah, that's a shame, isn't it? Well, thank you, Susie, and I hope your good work does end up breaking down some barriers over the coming years. Fingers crossed. So, Interlagos coming up this weekend. Brazil, we do some Nico Hülkenberg magic. He loves Brazil, doesn't he? Apart from, as you mentioned in the other podcast, crashing into Lewis Hamilton and not winning the race he should have done, but he stuck it on pole in his Williams in the wet, didn't he, a few years before that as well. Who can guess the nationality of the last two winners who won in Brazil?
European, by chance, and German.
German indeed! Sebastian Vettel and Nico Rosberg. Rosberg actually won it was the first time Mercedes had won a race. Won the Brazilian Grand Prix. First time a Mercedes car had won the Brazilian Grand Prix, according to Wikipedia, anyway, which is obviously always right. Fernando Alonso has never won around Interlagos either. Through all his years, he's never won there. Has Lewis Hamilton won in Brazil? Rich, you're going to have to look it up. In the meantime, I mean, got to say, great opportunity for Fernando Alonso to end his duck this season, Kyle.
Points?
Yeah. You don't think that first win will come this year?
Well, you never know. Crazy weather conditions, which can happen in Brazil.
Wipe out 19 cars.
You never know. Never say never, but if I do my betting prediction, that won't be one I'll be looking at.
Oh, I wonder what odds you'd get. It'd be like 1,000 to 1, probably, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, just something. Bottas is sort of 80 odd to 1 to win.
Jeez.
So I don't want to look what Alonso is.
Oh, here we go. Rosberg 14, Vettel 2013, Button 2012, Webber 2011, Vettel 2010, Webber 2009, no. Massa 2008, Raikkonen 2007.
Wow. But of course, Lewis won the world championship. Yeah. So he hasn't won a race, but he did win the world championship.
Most spectacular way he could win a championship.
So. Wasn't it just? The standard question, most important weekend, stroke final two races for anyone?
Rosberg / Vettel fighting for second place. I mean, if Vettel gets it, that'd be brilliant season for Ferrari. That'd be good work for them.
It does look like Williams will finish ahead of Red Bull in the Constructors' Championship now. They've got a good gap. The one thing I didn't pick up on, Daniel Ricciardo is still behind Daniel Kvyat in the driver's standings. Interesting.
Yeah, surprising, really, isn't it? Kvyat's been sort of a bit up and down all year. I suppose inter-team battles is probably quite an important weekend for trying to beat your teammate in a way. Just especially like people like Hülkenberg and Perez and... So that's probably the most important weekends for teammates.
Because I think most of the lineup is sorted for next year, isn't it? Now there's not really anything left.
It's only the Manor, two seats left, which could go to Rossi and Stevens. So
have Sauber confirmed both of their drivers as well, have they?
Yeah, they're both. Yeah, Ericsson's paid his money.
What are you saying, Kyle? And of course, Felipe Nasr. And we'll touch on Haas in a moment because we're going to bring in the predictions now. That is a segue right there. There are a lot of these. So bear with. I'm going to go through them roundabout now, starting with the USA. Steve Russ said that it would be a Hamilton pole. He said it would be Hamilton first, Rosberg second, and Vettel third in both qualifying and the race. He was completely wrong in qualifying and completely right in the race. So that's not bad. That's not a bad effort at all. He said that there would be one McLaren DNF and two McLarens exiting in Q1. I don't think that either of those are right. A Maldonado DNF, that was wrong. Williams to have two in the top 10, that was wrong because they both retired. Sauber to be outside the top 10, that was wrong because I think Felipe Nasr got ninth. And also no Sauber in Q3, which was pretty reasonable bet. I said it'd be a Hamilton pole and race win, that's half right. Hülkenberg would finish ahead of Perez, which is wrong. Grosjean in the top 8, no. Alonso in the top 10, also wrong. He was 11th, that was pretty close. So that was another success for me. I'm doing so well this year. Kyle, you said Hamilton would become world champion. 10 points, well done. That Rossi would finish ahead of Stevens, also correct, looking good. Then Bottas podium, no. Two Force Indias in the top 8, no. Maldonado ahead of Grosjean in qualifying, no. But I gave you a kudos point for that one. Rich, you said no McLaren in the top 10, which was incorrect. One Sauber in the top 10, which was correct. Williams to have two in the top 7, no. Perez to finish ahead of Hülkenberg in qualifying, which was correct. And Sainz ahead of Verne in the race, which was wrong. And then, all of a sudden, we had this blooming battle on Twitter between Timme, at Unlucky Timme, and Johnny Parfitt, who's been around a few rounds now. And, you know, it all kicked off. They basically had Timme was going right for this, and Johnny played his part too. So they came up with, Johnny said it would be Hamilton first, Rosberg second, Bottas third, Vettel fourth, and Raikkonen fifth. He said that Haas would confirm their second driver, which they didn't. It was on Halloween, I think, that they did. Could be a coincidence. Maldonado not to crash all weekend. Now, I've got to be honest, I'm pretty sure he didn't. But I didn't see the entire weekend, so I've just decided he didn't. You'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, Johnny. He said Hülkenberg would make a one stop. Now, I've given you half a point for that because he did only make one stop, but that was because he retired before he got the chance to make his second. And Alonso to pit on lap 15 and DNF, which he finished, and I think he pitted earlier than that. So, as for Timme, he said that it would be Rosberg first, Hamilton second, Vettel third, Ricciardo fourth, Grosjean fifth, Massa sixth, Hülkenberg seventh, Button eighth, Raikkonen ninth, and Rossi tenth, which was very rogue. And then Alonso and Maldonado out in turn one. Sadly, it was only 1 out of 12 there, Timme. So, but I did give you 2 kudos points for the effort. But Johnny did win that round. And, as far as my calculations go, I don't know if that means you get into some sort of Twitter fight or what. But there we go. We did also say who would do the podium interviews or appearances. Did we see Michael Douglas in Austin at any point?
I didn't, no.
No.
Fine, I'll take that. Matt LeBlanc?
Of course he was there, yeah.
Of course he was there.
Yeah.
That was your suggestion, Carl, so well done. And Nicole Scherzinger?
I didn't see her, no.
No, I didn't see her.
Unlikely, I agreed. So that was just a bit of fun. And then we have Mexico at Timme versus Johnny Part 2. Now, the issue with this, and I did double check, Timme, your predictions weren't in before the start of FP1, so I couldn't include any of them. And they are the rule. They don't have many rules, but that is effectively the rule.
His Twitter handle is Unlucky Timmy.
Yeah, and
I do know Tim.
Oh, do you?
Yes, from karting.
Years ago.
I haven't spoken to him for a while, so yeah.
Is he going to take this well?
Yeah, I think he is. He's a good guy.
Sorry, Tim. It was close.
What time did he get there?
I think I worked out it was about 8 o'clock, and FP1 was at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I feel really bad, but yeah, they're the rules. As I did work out what was right and what wasn't. Johnny said that there would be wets in qualifying, wet tyres. I'm pretty sure it was pretty dry when they first went out, so I don't think there are any wet tyres in qualifying.
No, they used them in practice, didn't they?
Yeah. So yeah, that's fine. Perez to DNF. No, but it was a great prediction, so I gave you a kudos point for that, Johnny. Hülkenberg top five, no. Ricciardo ahead of Kvyat in the championship, no, he's still behind him. And that there would be a red flag during the weekend, which there was, I think, in one of the practices. Tim Ayr, as I said, not in time, but you did say Hamilton to win, Vettel second, Rosberg third, Ricciardo fourth, Raikkonen fifth. They were all wrong. Fittipaldi on the podium. Questions, which is not right. Maldonado to run over a hat, then subsequently crash. Now, A, ridiculous. B, you can have a kudos point for that one. The Saubers to collide at some point. I don't think that happened either. Button in the top 10. No. Alonso to whinge about the engine. Yeah, but I'm being generous now. And Gutierrez to be announced as Haas's second driver, which is true. And we can talk about that very briefly now. Good news. Do we care?
I think he'll bring a fair amount to the Haas team.
Cash or talent?
Okay. Both. A little bit of both. But I was never his biggest fan before. But you never know. He might have learned a lot from being in Ferrari this year. And I think it does help the Ferrari link. And yeah, maybe interesting to see.
That'll do for that. And also, Timmy added that Vern would qualify fourth but cock up his start. No, it wasn't even that good. What did I say, Vern?
Yeah.
That was always going to happen for my VER abbreviation. And Brundle to interview Sergio Perez Sr., but to not understand him. Did that happen?
Not that I saw, no.
I didn't see it, no.
Right, we're assuming that didn't happen, but again, the kudos point for that one, Tim. So you're winning the kudos point battle. Kyle, you said Hamilton pole, Hamilton win, Perez top 10 in qualifying. Which is the first one, top 7 in the race, so close. No McLaren in the points, which was also correct. Rich, you said Perez top 5, Maldonado in the points, no. Stevens ahead of Rossi, no. One times Williams on the podium, good shout. And two cars in the pits at the end of lap 1, no. I think it was 1.
No, because Alonso retired at lap 1 and Vettel got a puncture, so he came in.
Oh, so it's close then.
So
Oh. Does
that count as 2 or?
Oh. Well,
the prediction was in the pits.
Yeah,
in the pits.
Two cars come into the pits at end of lap 1.
Fair point. Yeah, that is right. I'll correct that one. Good point. Well done.
Just stitch me up again.
It's always you, isn't it? It's always you. The standings then, as it looks, Kyle, you are out in front with a decent percentage, not quite the same as Steve's from last year, but it's all right. It's better than the other few years. Rich is second. Sam Todd is in third. He drops to third. So yeah, Rich, you've moved a place up. I'm still fourth. I'm probably going to sit there, to be honest. Steve is in fifth. Johnny Parfitt is sixth. Josh is seventh. Tim Ayr is eighth. And Ped, who still only had one go, is ninth. I just want him to have one more go of predictions. Ped, one more go before the end of the season. And we've got our championship predictions, obviously, to be calculated in at the end, which I won't remind you of what they are just yet. Brazil, then. Rich, you can go first.
I've gone Brazilian-themed for some of them.
Okay.
In the right way. I like to theme these.
I love it.
So I've gone for Massa, Felipe Massa, to finish top 7, and then I've gone for Felipe Nasr to finish in the top 10.
Good.
I'm going to say wet or intermediate tyres will be used in one of the sessions over the weekend.
Okay, can you keep count of that one?
Yeah, I can try. I'm going to say there will be safety car / virtual safety car, and big one, I'm going to say Hülkenberg on the podium.
Oh, that's a kudos point right there.
Actually wrote boom as well.
Yeah.
After it.
And we will say it, boom. 10 points. Good work. Done?
Yeah.
Happy?
If they could become right, yeah.
fair point. Kyle?
I'm going to go Brazilian-themed as well. But just Massa to beat Bottas in qualifying and the race.
Oh.
And Phil Massa. I think it's what he prefers.
Phil Nasr, love it.
Yeah, because I think Sky were calling him Fred Nasr, but he went to him and said, actually, I prefer to be called Phil. So, but yeah, he's going to be he's going to beat Ericsson in qualifying and the race. To win the race, I'm going to go for Rosberg again. Yeah, a Rosberg win. And difficult last one. I'm going to go for Alonso to go out in Q1 and Button to go out in Q2.
Woof. Which leaves me, doesn't it, I suppose? So, I think Lewis will win the race. It'll be his first win in Brazil. So let's say Lewis to win the race. Perez is going to finish ahead of Nico Hülkenberg again. I think that Felipe Massa will finish ahead of Bottas. And which you two might have said, because I've lost track. I'm also going to say that McLaren will have another pair of DNFs. Ain't going to get any better for them. And who haven't I put? Carlos Sainz is going to finish in the top 10 because I just haven't done a Carlos Sainz prediction. And Marcus Ericsson will go out in Q1. Boom, job done. Sweet. Will we get some betting predictions,
yes,
do you reckon?
Should be able to. Yep, should be able to get
those. Excellent. I look forward to having a go on those. They'll be on the NRF1 website, nrf1.uk. I may have some blogs in the meantime. I may finish that karting video that's never going to finish.
Should we quickly mention the colour of the new ultra soft tyre that was announced? It's like a pinky purple, a bit like the fastest sector or fastest lap. Yeah, for next year that'll be the rim, or the colour will be this pinky purple for ultra soft.
That's awesome. I hadn't even seen that.
Looks good. Excited?
Yeah, looks good. Yeah.
Will it help having an extra tyre compound? Are they going to be able to use it in the race and everything?
Yeah, I think it'll help with like Monaco, where it's the super soft is still reasonably hard for
maybe
Monaco.
They'll use Kyle's idea that he had earlier this season of having three compounds you can choose from.
Exactly. Does open the door to that, Kyle.
I'm still waiting for Paul Hembree to get back to me on that. But
yeah, well, I'll give him another nudge. Give him another nudge. Brilliant. Right, we better wrap this up then. At the NRF1 on Twitter, facebook.com/NRF1podcast, all the other usual ways you can get a hold of us. We'll be through there and have a listen to the podcast, get in touch. And if you do want to make any predictions ahead of Brazil and join us in the table, please do. The only thing you need to do is get them in before the start of FP1, and then away we go. But gents, thank you so much for your time. Thank you all for listening. And we'll be back after Brazil with, I suppose, the penultimate podcast of the season. Given heck. What a year, eh? What a year. Well, we'll probably do an extra review one. We'll be fine. Brilliant stuff. Right, we're going to go. Thank you so much for your time. We'll be back soon. Bye for now.